Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Talking about building core strength. And what I love about the definition of core strength is when you have core strength, it affects your posture, it affects your stability, and your durability. And so one thing I did notice, and I have mentioned this month, is when I was working out during those 7 days, I immediately noticed my back pain was gone. I was able to stand up, even right now. I probably should stand up straight, right? And open up my shoulders a little bit. And so core strength really affects a lot of different areas. And as we are going into the fall, and as school is starting, whether you have kids in school or not, there's just a natural season change. And as we're going into the fall, I don't know about you, but I want good posture. I want durability and I want stability. And if you're looking around at our world right now or even our country as the fall approaches, we're going to need durability. We're going to need stability, right? We're going to need that as a church because if the church doesn't have that, I don't know who is. And so there's this invitation to walk in a core strength and to walk from heaven's perspective. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, there we go. All right. I turned the lights up, so... Don't fall asleep. All right. First Sunday of the month, we talked about the belt of truth. We talked about lifting belts, right? And how when you wear a lifting belt, it enables you to lift more weight than you could lift without it. And how the belt of truth and the armor of God, the truth of God, can lift our burdens. And when we have truth at our core, it can give us the right perspective and set us free. Amen? And then the second Sunday, we talked about two exercises to build strength. We talked about the exchange, the invitation to exchange lies for truth and to exchange burdens for God's freedom and his presence. And we talked about an actual prayer tool where you nail to the cross anything that isn't from God that's in your life. And so it's a great tool. Like if I was arguing with Caleb, I'd be like, you know what? Let me go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom and I'm like, God, I just nailed to the cross any offense. I nailed to the cross any frustration. God, I'm so sorry for that. What do you have for me in exchange? Can save relationships and it can really be a practical prayer tool. And then last Sunday, we talked about the power of R&R, which is how muscle is actually built through resting, not through working out. Everyone just said, praise God, but you do need both, okay? So you do need both. But resting in the finished work of the cross and how where we sit in the tension of life can determine our core strength, how either we sit in the counsel of the enemy or in the courts of heaven, right, seated in high places. So I really encourage you, if you miss any of those, to go back and listen. Try to be very practical this month, especially because going into the fall, how many know we just need some practical tools in our belt, right, as the seasons change? So our key verse is Isaiah 40, verse 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. How many know this is a lot more than a Hallmark card or a Hobby Lobby little plaque, right? I have a confession. I say that, but then I realize in our guest bathroom is this beautiful little painting of this verse on the wall. And I think subconsciously that may be why we're preaching it this month, because our master bathroom had a massive issue in the ceiling. And so we've been having to go into the guest bathroom. So I've been staring at this verse, and I think it got in me, which is really good. There's this beautiful place online to get Bible verses painted, and I think it's called like God's Fingerprint or something. I don't know if you know it. Search God's Fingerprint, and it's really cool. So if you're into that kind of thing, it's great. But this verse is a lot more than just something to put on the wall. This is a lifeline for us. And last week we looked at eagles, and I want to look one more time at eagles. This is really cool. Apparently eagles are the only bird that flies into the storm and doesn't run and, or not run, but fly and take shelter during the storm. The eagle is the only bird that flies into the storm and lets the storm wind carry it and lift it higher. Isn't that amazing? So when it says mount up on wings like eagles, it's not just talking about soaring on a nice, peaceful, little breezy day. It's saying mount up on wings like eagles because eagles are the only bird that will fly into the storm and go above it. Isn't that amazing? So just let that picture rest in you. Jesus didn't die on that cross so we would be paralyzed by the storm. He died on the cross and rose again so we would rise above the storm. Amen? That's a good word. It's easier to say it than to live it, but there's an invitation in it to surrender to God and let his wings, right, the wings of an eagle, lift you up. Amen? I was just looking at the context of Isaiah 40. It was written, obviously, by the prophet Isaiah. And it was written because the Israelites who first received this promise were very worn out from their hardship. This wasn't written to, a posh community in a little suburb. This was written to people that were in captivity and knew more about weakness than they did strength. They knew more about bondage than they did freedom. Isaiah 40 is also quoted directly in Matthew 3 when John the Baptist fulfilled the voice in the wilderness. So this verse has immediate connection to the New Testament and immediate connection to really salvation from Jesus. So I encourage you this week, even just start reading the rest of Isaiah 40 because it's a really powerful verse if you look at the whole context. So today we're going to look at a key to core strength, and I kind of gave it away at the beginning, but it is weakness. So how many want the power of God in their life, right? How many want that? How many have seen it, right? I've seen miracles here. I've seen legs grow out. I've seen, we used to have a gentleman come here. He really had a powerful anointing in the gift of healing, and he had seen, I think he had seen like deaf ears open or something. I mean, it was really quite powerful. Been to Malawi, seen a lot of miracles there, and also just met a lot of people that have also witnessed miracles. I know a lot of us have witnessed miracles, and that's a prayer on the heart of this church. We don't want to just talk about what God can do. We want to witness it. Amen? But we like to witness it, but maybe we don't like all the ingredients needed to witness it. Yeah, amen? So faith is obviously needed, right, to see miracles, obviously. But there's one other element, there's one other ingredient, and that is weakness. Weakness is required for God's strength to move. How many like to admit you're weak? Anybody? Not particular. Okay, a couple people, but generally, maybe there's one area I'm okay to admit I'm weak. You know, like, I don't go to the gym that often. That's kind of obvious. I'm okay to say I'm a little weak there. But maybe there's this hidden area over here. I'm like, I will pretend and I will put up every mask on the planet so I don't look weak because I'm not going to get taken advantage again, right? Or I'm not going to come across this way. And so we all have an area in our life where we don't want to show weakness. But here's some good news and bad news, but it's really good news. You do not have the ability by yourself to fulfill your God-given purpose, right? You do not have the ability by yourself to make your home thrive. And some of us have been getting really exhausted because we think we should have the ability, right? We actually, in our leadership team, we kind of made the word should a bad word. Or like, let's not say the word should, right? You should have done this or you should have done that. It's like, let's remove that. God's ability is actually what we need, right? Matthew 16:25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That word save is the word sozo, which if you've been here at all, you know means to heal, save, preserve, rescue, be made whole, deliver, and protect. And that word life means breath. It means distinct identity. It means emotions and will. So whoever is trying to heal yourself, deliver yourself, preserve yourself, make yourself whole, protect yourself. Now, I'm not talking about a healthy kind of protection. I'm talking about an unhealthy, to clarify, right? And whoever is trying to do that, it's like you run out of identity. You run out of breath. Right? But this says you will run and not grow weary, right? Not run out of breath. And so that's why we're talking about this. There's no limit to the Holy Spirit's ability in you. Think about that. There's no limit to the Holy Spirit's ability in you. There's no limit to the breath of God inside of you as you run. Where our ability ends, Holy Spirit's ability begins. I heard that said last year, and I actually don't know who I heard say it, but it really convicted my heart because I realized I was building a theology around my ability. Like if my ability ran out, then that was it. And I was building a whole mindset, a whole stronghold in my mind, and a whole theology around my ability instead of God's ability. Now, God invites us to rest. This isn't workaholism at all, but this is tapping into and surrendering to God's supernatural Holy Spirit inside of you, living and breathing. Are you following? Today, God wants to release new core strength. So we cannot walk in the strength of God unless we are surrendering and admitting we are weak. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me." I love this word weakness because it means unimpressive. So I think sometimes we get this holy, you know, hyper-spiritual idea of what a weakness could be. But what is the most unimpressive part about who you are? What's the most unimpressive? It also means, what else does it mean? It also means helpless. Where's an area in your life that you just feel helpless, right? And maybe you haven't actually let yourself think about that for a while. It's a little scary. But where do you feel helpless going into the fall? Where do you feel very unimpressive? It's a scary thing to face the area of your life that feels the most unimpressive. Have you ever tried to do that? It'll stop you in your tracks. It stopped me. So the question is, where are you allowing yourself to be honest with God in your weakness? Where are you allowing yourself to admit to God, hey, God, I am feeling very unimpressive in this area. I'm going to stop pretending. I'm going to stop faking it till I make it. And I'm going to admit that I'm unimpressive here. I'm going to admit that I feel very helpless. You have to know you need saving to need a savior. But so many of us try to be our own savior and then wonder, why aren't I encountering the savior? Well, maybe we stopped admitting that we need saving. Amen? He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. I love that word power. It means ability. Remember, he gives ability to the weak. He gives ability to the area where you have no ability. And that word strength means vigor and maturity. So he gives maturity to the area, maybe where there's a little bit of immaturity. Anyone have a little immature moment? No one's going to raise their hand for that. Never, never. We do not get saved to be independent achievers. We do not get saved to be independent achievers. We get saved and become surrendered first responders to the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? We do not get saved to be independent achievers. So let's unpack this just a little bit deeper here. What you do with your weakness is a really big deal in the kingdom of God. Every person here today has weakness. Some of us are wearing it on the outside. Some of us are wearing it on the inside. I want to tell you a little story, right? This is not a real story. This is not based on a reality. I just want a little disclaimer there, right? So let's say someone's greeting at the door, and we'll have someone named Tony. Tony comes in, and he looks very impressive, right? And he's a pillar in the community, kind of well-to-do, a businessman, and greeter says, just thank you so much for being a pillar in the community. Like, you're doing great. Just come on in, right? And then someone else comes in named Mary, and Mary's a local teacher and even loves to maybe do a little Bible study leading. And the greeter says, man, you just rocked it at our last Bible study. Thank you so much. And she comes in. And then we've got someone named Judy. And Judy comes in, and you can tell she's kind of unhappy. She's kind of shut down. Maybe it's obvious that maybe she's struggling in an area of her life. And the greeter doesn't really know what to do, right? But maybe says, you know, there's a seat, you know, come on in, right? Tony, though no one knows, is embezzling money, right? Mary is cheating on her husband. But Judy was wearing her pain on the outside. We all have a weakness. The question is not, do you have it? The question is, you know, maybe where is it today? Maybe that second cup of coffee, put it on the inside, right? But a real God wants to transform a real you. A real God wants to transform a real you. We need to admit we need saving in order to meet our Savior. Amen? So whether your pain is on the outside or the inside today, I just want you to know you are seen by God, and that's a good thing because he's a good God, right? Core strength in Christ requires surrendered weakness. Unsurrendered weakness will rob core strength. So let's just go a little bit deeper here. 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is where we're going to land for a minute here. If you have your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, text the church line. We'll get you a Bible. All right. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness. Is that the whole verse? No, but I feel like sometimes we build our entire life story, all our conversations, our habits, all of it around that, right? My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness, right? Let's boast about it. It even sounds holy, right? Let me give you an example. Well, this is just who I am, right? That's just my style. Or maybe my dad was that way, so I am, or my mom was that way. This is just how I was made. This is my identity. This is my personality. This is my family. It's my work environment. Whatever it is. Oh, it's just a life season, right? Worse, have you ever found yourself boasting on another person's weakness? Oh, you know him. He can't help it. Well, you always. No, you never. Sound familiar? We build an entire conversation structure, habits, routines. We build all sorts of things around that first part of the verse. And we miss the so that. Can we all say so that? And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast. I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I love that. It says, for power is perfected in weakness. That word perfected, if you were here last week, we talked an awful lot about that word because it means to bring to an end or to complete. And it's connected with the word that Jesus used on that cross when he said, it is finished. It's connected. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus on the cross was the most vivid picture of God's power in weakness. For power is perfected in weakness. Isn't that beautiful? I just think that's really powerful. The rich man, who knows the rich man who wanted eternal life in Matthew 19? Anyone know that story? I'm just going to read a little part of it. You don't have to go there. It says, Jesus answered, after they were dialoguing some, if you want to be perfect, same word, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Again, that word perfect means complete, and it's from the same word. If you want to be complete, surrender your weakness. The rich man had a weakness, and he wasn't willing to surrender it, and he went away sad. How often do we come to Jesus, and Jesus has his hands open, and he's inviting us to surrender that place that's unimpressive, that place where we feel helpless, and we go away sad because we don't want to surrender it. If you came last week, it was a lot more of a happier message, all right? But this is really good news because there is nothing more powerful than a surrendered weakness. It says his power is complete in it, amen? All right, hang with me, don't worry. This is good news. In order to follow a Savior, we must acknowledge our need to be saved. Some of us need to rededicate our lives and our habits. Re-acknowledge that we need a Savior in our marriage, in our relationships, in our workplace mindsets, in our habits. I think I already said habits, but habits go a lot of different places, right? Some of us need to rededicate our lives and say, Jesus, I have been trying to be my own Savior. I repent. I'm turning back to you. Be my Savior. The good news is he didn't go anywhere and he didn't stop saving, right? But we need to surrender to a Savior to say, I need to be saved. Amen? And he has said to me, I know I'm going to say this verse a ton. If you were at the kids' camp, we'd all be like doing the hand motions, right? My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. That word dwell means to pitch a tent. It means to tabernacle. Who was a tent maker? Paul. It's a little joke. I told my husband this. He was like, it's a joke. Paul was doing a sense of humor because he's a tent maker. He was using a word that he knew very well. I'm going to unpack that in just a second. But Paul knew a thing about pitching tents, right? He was a tabernacle maker. And I don't mean that he was making actual tabernacles, but tabernacles and tents, right? It was very similar. And it's a powerful reminder that what we do in the physical matters in the spiritual. So Paul was doing his 9-to-5, making physical tents, and then he was doing his ministry, and he was inviting people into a tabernacle with God. Isn't that cool? I just thought that was cool. God cares about your 9-to-5, right? So we're going to unpack what that means to tabernacle in a second, but I want to go back one last time to talk about weakness. Unsurrendered weakness looks like transparency without repentance. Unsurrendered weakness looks like transparency without repentance. Anyone can be transparent about their weakness. Awareness is great, but it won't change you. Repentance is what transforms you. Repentance to God, right? I have watched people, it has broken my heart, the single biggest areas, times in my life where my life has been shattered by somebody's choices have been times when someone chose to be transparent but not repentant. They decided to boast of their weakness, and it even came across as holy, but they didn't surrender it to God. We even thought they did, but they didn't. So I encourage you, don't just say you have an area in your life that you're struggling with. Go to Jesus. And if you're too weak to go to Jesus, that's why the friends let their friend down through the roof, right? That's what community is for. Amen? Surrendered weakness looks like a tabernacle for God to dwell in. Core strength comes from tabernacling with God. I love this picture of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, right? It points to paradise. It points to a place on earth where there's no separation to God's presence. And we know in the New Testament, we are the temples of God, right? But that tabernacle with the Israelites, when they were wandering in the desert, it was God's way of saying, I'm not going to abandon you in the weakness of your wilderness. And someone here needs to hear, you might be in the weakness of a wilderness, but God wants to tabernacle. He wants to rest in you in that weakness, and he wants his ability to be made perfect through your weakness. Are you following? The Bible study that we chose this week, as I said, is extremely powerful, and it is about a gentleman who deals with severe health issues, and it is astounding, his story of how he sees his weakness as a born-again believer who's seen miracles and who is faith-filled and uncompromising in his walk with God. So I encourage you, the Bible study gets into this even deeper in a very real, raw way. Amen? So the Word became human and made his home among us. He dwelled among us. Jesus tabernacled around us. He came to earth and he said, I'll put on the tent of human flesh to be with humanity. Isn't that amazing? He said, I'm going to come to the weakest place. I'm going to put myself right into the weakest place so my power would be perfected, so I could say it is finished on the cross. And he is saying that over your life this morning. Amen? So why don't we stand on our feet here as we're closing out. The tabernacle was essentially the first tent revival. If you're an old-time Christian, and I don't mean that in any, and if you're a young-time Christian, right, and have been around tent revivals, I grew up in tent revivals, and I love it. My dad was like, we just need to get a big tent. And I'm like, I don't know if they do that anymore. Maybe they do, right? And they actually do in some places. It's awesome. If God's there, I want to be there, right? I don't care what it looks like or where it is. But how many know the first tent revival was a tabernacle, right? And I have news for you. A thriving home looks like a tent revival. A thriving home, which is the vision for our churches, a thriving homes transform cities. A thriving home looks like a tent revival. It looks like God tabernacling, God's presence filling the area in your life where you feel helpless, where you feel incapable, where you feel inadequate. That's where God says, I'm going to pitch a tent right there. I want to be with you right there. It's a little dusty. There's sandstorms in the desert and all that. He doesn't care. Amen. Galatians 5, but the fruit of your good works, is that what that says? How about the fruit of your faith? That sounds spiritual. How about the fruit of your prayers? That sounds spiritual too. How about the fruit of your good intentions? How about the fruit of working really hard? No, it says the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit, which is also mainly known as self-control. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. I love the word fruit there. It means vegetable. Random fact, not as holy as the next thing. It also means action, all right? It means action and result. The direct action and the direct result of the Holy Spirit is just God inside of you. Of God inside of you is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit aren't for optional benefits of the Christian walk. They're not for the hyper-spiritual. They're not for the ones that wear the most masks. Fruit is authentic. You can't fake it. Fruit is the action of the Holy Spirit working in your life. It is the result of God doing a new thing in your life. How do you know you have a surrendered weakness? You have fruit there. How do you know you have a surrendered weakness? You are tabernacling with Holy Spirit, and the result is the fruit. And I just want to close with that. I love the word self-control, but one translation translates it as strength of spirit. That's the ultimate form of core strength. But you don't work at it. It doesn't mean you don't need to participate and partner with God with what he's doing in your life, but we surrender our weakness to him, right? And he tabernacles. So let's pray. As I'm praying, I just invite you to ask yourself and to have God stir in your heart, where is an area in your life where you have an unsurrendered weakness? It might be huge, it might be little, maybe you've literally never told anybody about it, but where is an area in your life where you have an unsurrendered weakness? Because God is walking through here with a tent and he says, I wanna pitch my tent right there. I wanna hang out with you. I wanna go camping with you right there. Right in the center of that relationship, right in the center of your mind, right in the center of your home, of your workplace, of your finances, of your car, wherever it is, where you find that you have unsurrendered weakness, right on that computer screen, right on that cell phone, he says, I want to pitch a tent. So Jesus, right now, we just come to you and we repent for any area in our life where we have put up a mask and where we have faked it and even called it holy. God, where we have boasted about a weakness instead of boasting about it and then surrendering it to you so that your power would be complete. Father, we thank you that you are gracious, that you are merciful, that you are loving. So right now, I just bless any area of weakness with joy that overflows, with peace that subdues, with patience that endures. I bless every area of weakness in your life with kindness in action, with a life full of virtue, with faith that prevails, with gentleness of heart, with divine love, and with strength of spirit. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.